Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Still trying to get over the Kelly O's thing. And I see it all the time with the business. So the guy gets mad because Kelly O's daughter, who runs the business, tells him to move his car from her lot because he's not eating there. He threatens to kill her. Seriously. In the strip. Uh-huh. And he's one of these startup jagoffs, so it's not like he's some felon driving around a stolen car. He's a grown-ass man who's angry because the owner of Kelly O's is saying, sir, you're not eating in our restaurant. We're going to tow you. They put barricades up at Kelly O's so that people wouldn't park in their restaurant who weren't eating there. So overnight, let's say. Because then they come in, the whole lot's full, when they don't know who the hell's there. So what happens is the clubbers come down there to get wasted, and they fill her lot, and then they leave their car there, and then she has no place for customers to park in the morning. And so then she hired a tow service to do their job, tow the cars. And then they get towed, and they threaten to kill Shauna, who has a 5-year-old in her arms. Because she wants them to keep their friggin' car out of her lot. Life in the big city. And as Patrick stated, there is a literally 16, 20 feet right across the alley from Kelly O's. There's a several story paid parking lot, but the idiots, what did she say? They take what isn't theirs and act as if it is. And threaten to hurt her. We posted it on social. 100,000 people chimed in and attacked her. Most of them were rude and hateful and spiteful and obnoxious. Somewhere along the way, we've lost our respect for each other. Somewhere along the way, we have decided that because we have some sort of modicum of success that we're entitled to do whatever the hell we want. And so we become assertive and aggressive and aggravated. If a young woman holding a 5-year-old asks us to move our car from her parking lot, even though we're parked there illegally and we won't move our car, and then they hire this tow truck company to try and get the cars out of the friggin' lot, and they get threatened. And all her daughter wanted to do was post this announcement on social media, and Patrick sees it and forwards it to me, and then we post it, and 150,000 people are now screaming and yelling. And I spoke to the original owner and founder of Kelly O's, Kelly O. She said she spent several hours deleting threats and hate-filled comments against her and her family on that post. So people decided that Kelly O is to blame. for asking people to move their damn cars from her restaurant. To which I say, is this as good as it gets? Apparently it is. Here's what I want to do. We have Dave Sunday calling in. The Attorney General. Very assertive. Is that him? I think it is. Is that Dave? Yeah? Yeah. Dave Sunday, the Attorney General. Appreciate him doing this. How are you, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. Great to hear from you. Great to be here.
My man, have you noticed that when you do the right thing, people make you the bad guys? Have you noticed this? Because your office is very aggressive, and I love it. You go after these people ripping people off. This Medicaid fraud that you've exposed, insanely important. They turn it around and make you the bad guy because of your politics. Have you seen this, Dave? Because I have. Have you?
I have not. I mean, I've seen it briefly, but not. I mean, honestly, like, we're just, I'm focused on the core competencies of the office and doing my job. I don't even pay attention to that, to be honest.
By the way, this is a trait that I possess. You have to be myopic in your view of doing the right thing. Do you not? Because if you get caught up in the criticism, you get bogged down in it, don't you, sir?
I mean, the reality is I view it. I mean, I'm a career prosecutor. I'm going into my close to 20th year being a prosecutor. And, you know, when I will tell you that when I was a DA and I was in a courtroom every day and in the courthouse, you know, victims of the worst crimes that exist, like, they don't even look at you and say, hey, what's your political party? They want help. And that's the job that I signed up for. And that's what I focus on every single day.
You have focused big time on this fraud in the Medicaid system. Why, sir?
Well, fraud is a huge issue across society. And in particular, when we talk about Medicaid, I mean, these are resources that are supposed to be going to help people that really, really need that help. And so when people steal those resources, not only are they getting one over and they're stealing from taxpayers, they're removing a resource that could have gone to help people that really need that type of assistance.
Hey, Dave, some of this stuff is insane. Comfort Zone. They submitted $1.76 million in false reimbursements. 19 defendants. This went on and on and on, sir. 14 have been sentenced. Stealing, in essence, valuable resources. Right, sir?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at it, and I'm not sure if you saw the report or not, in our Medicaid fraud section in the Pennsylvania Attorney General's office last year, and this report just came out yesterday, we had the most convictions in the entire country for Medicaid fraud. And we returned over $41 million worth of fraud back to Pennsylvanians. And that's really important because it highlights not just the large scale cases you're talking about, but the small cases where you have individuals that are claiming to be providing care for someone in their home. And in reality, they're not doing anything. They're not helping anyone. And so and they're falsely stating that they've done work and they do no work at all. And so it runs a gamut. It could be small in-home caregivers all the way up through pharmacy, through independent pharmacies that we've prosecuted recently as well.
My man, you secured convictions in 115 cases. That's an amazing success rate. This has great value to you, doesn't it, sir?
It has tremendous value. And I also want to take a moment to highlight the hard work of the investigators and the prosecutors that do this tedious, oftentimes very difficult work every single day. And so I think it's important because citizens, they want to know that their government is working for them, and they want to know that their government's protecting them. I mean, if people aren't safe, nothing else matters. And this is an issue where you have people that are just rampantly stealing money. And so I think that it's important to investigate and prosecute and convict these individuals because it sends a message that, hey, you can't just go do this. I mean, the day will come where someone's going to arrest you. And so I think it's really critical that we do that. And I will also I want to make a note, and I always say this, that we have one of the highest amounts of senior citizens
we do
in the country here in Pennsylvania. And so I think we have a duty, a moral duty, to do what we can to protect seniors from scams, from theft, and all these different harms we're seeing as a result of fraudulent activity across the spectrum.
Some of it, Dave Sundy, is life and death stuff. Listen to this. Kelly Gonzalez, personal care administrator in Lawrence County. Wow. Failed to renew a resident's medications. Led to a fatal seizure in 2021. Dave, that's life and death stuff, brother, is it not?
It's absolutely life and death.
Wow.
I mean, you know, these absolutely life and death. And I think about this. I think about my parents. I think about when my grandparents were being cared for. I think about, you know, God willing, we'll all be there someday. And could you imagine having your loved one be in a place where they think they're getting this care and you
wow.
think they're receiving this medicine?
Wow.
And it turns out that they're not. I mean, it's horrific.
And they
die.
Dave, they die.
And they die.
Jesus.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. I mean, we have a duty. I think that as a society, I think one of the ways that we're judged is how we treat those amongst us that are the most vulnerable. And in particular, I think of our children and I think of seniors. And this is really important. And so I have to say thank you for highlighting this work.
Oh, I love it.
Because it's important for people to know that you can't just get away with this. I mean, you know, obviously there are some places where this is not, maybe it's not taken as seriously, where maybe people think they can get away with it. Well, that's not something that we want to see, and that's something that we're fighting to prevent.
Hey, before you go, man, this Philadelphia pharmacy, wow, this involved
yeah.
over 100,000 tablets. My man, they were giving pills that were not from legitimate wholesale suppliers. Could
that's
have
right.
killed people, sir. What the hell, man?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, there's, you know, there's legitimate wholesale suppliers, and they were getting drugs that weren't the drugs that they were supposed to be handing out, and then they were billing Medicaid as if they were handing out those drugs that they should have been handing out. And so, to your point, I mean, you know, when you're not going to a legitimate wholesaler, you don't know what the quality control is for the drugs you're purchasing. You have no idea how effective they are. And it's really creating a dangerous situation, so we had to shut them down.
Dave Sundy, my man believes in the right thing, does not care about party, just cares about principle and the law. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, my friend. Have a wonderful day. Take care.
My man doesn't mess around, man, and I love it.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bum, 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 bum. They do not mess around. Sunday's cool. He is cool. Guy just goes at it, goes for it. Very aggressive. And the most convictions of any attorney general in the country. Seriously, for a Medicaid fraud. Some of the stuff you find hard to believe, but then as we get into this whole notion of responsibility at these facilities you're supposed to take care of people, you realize that Some people are just in it for the money, and then they find out ways to cut corners, and then people die. You have no idea how hard it's been for us to try to get any interest at a high level in granny cams. Cameras in nursing homes where hundreds of people die every year due to negligence and or abuse. It's just the truth. We thought, and I guess we're naive, that we would do what, is it 20 states? Almost 20 states have done, and put the cams in rooms. We thought we could do it overnight. It's actually, we thought it would be a hot knife through butter. No. As it turns out, these big nursing home companies are using money to lobby state leaders to not allow this to pass. Which, by the way, should scare the hell out of you. Why? Because if they don't want someone watching, that suggests that they're doing something inappropriate. It's so bad that the one state leader, one, Ms. Brown, he's unbelievable. It's so bad that when her father, this is the truth, got dementia, right? And she wanted him in a facility where she could watch him. She had to move him to a facility in Ohio because Pennsylvania will not allow cameras in rooms. It's so bad that the private investigators and cops that we've had tried to put cameras in rooms were threatened with arrest and litigation. It's so bad that we tried in seven facilities. Patrick, we don't have one working camera in one facility in the state. Not one, sir. And we offered free cameras and free installation, right?
Yeah, and it's very easy.
And hold on, my man has a first-person story. Number one, it's legal, isn't it, sir?
It is. It is legal across Pennsylvania. You can put a camera in your own residence, whether it's your home, your apartment, your nursing home. If you are a solo resident, or even if you have a roommate, as long as your roommate signs off on it, you can put a surveillance camera in your room with video and audio.
You did it for a close friend.
I sure did.
And what type of facility, sir?
He was in an assisted living apartment, one of the Vincentian properties.
Yes.
And
they were wonderful about the
They
camera.
Were fantastic yeah, with yeah. it. They had questions at first, but they all agreed, yes, it's absolutely legal. They agreed that there are already surveillance cameras in their hallways and their common areas that they watch their employees, and they use them for the residents to keep them safe. There is no difference of having that camera in the room or having it in the hallway. They were 100% fine with it when we discussed it and laid it out like that.
We're finally getting a hearing. A Marla Brown, who's been pushing so hard, and one of our boys is going to testify before the hearing, our boy Bob, and we're going to get this done. If we accomplish anything in the next 6 months, it will be that. We will obsess. It has driven us crazy that we don't have one other than Marla Brown. But the actual head of the Department of Human Services did not want to be on this show. They won't answer their damn phone. At the end of the day, folks, we want cameras in your parents' room at the nursing facility, or your grandparents, or your room. And they're legal. And at every single corner, we get pushback from multinational conglomerate nursing home companies that don't want you to see the truth. And that should scare the hell out of you.
I'm Sarah Turney.
And I'm Courtney Nicole.
We're the hosts of the Crime House Original podcast, The Final Hours.
crime has impacted both of our families, teaching us how the last conversations, the missed red flags, can change everything.
On the final hours, we examine the moments before a disappearance and the questions that never got answered. A podcast that puts the moments before a disappearance under a microscope.
Listen to and follow The Final Hours, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, geez, there's a group. I love them both. Players. I want to play that Waymo thing one more time. This is what irritates me about politicians. Please, Trevin. My man Ballarato just produced this story, and it's annoying as hell. I've been texting all the Waymo people about this. And this is how we decide to lead in this city. And this just went down this morning. The city council says, go ahead. Thanks, buddy.
Members passed what's called a will of council, calling on state lawmakers to create a comprehensive regulatory framework for driverless rideshare vehicles. Councilmember Erica Strasburger says what's on the books now is not enough.
While we acknowledge that Act 130 of 2022, I believe, does create a regulatory framework of sorts, it's very state-focused. It cuts out municipalities from decision-making.
The will of council says thousands of people in the Pittsburgh area work in fields like ride-sharing, taxis, and delivery services. It acknowledges the new industry also creates thousands of jobs, but adds that council was never informed that Waymo was expanding here under one state regulations to provide more transparency and municipal consultation. David Ballarato, News Radio, KDKA.
I hate to laugh over his report, but come on, man. If it was a dog, it'd have bit him. Oh, I think the line of the day came from Patrick. Do they know there's an NFL draft coming to town? Oh, these people. Oh, let's do something to Jack with Waymo. Because, well, they haven't called us. Oh. I have some friends, including the gentleman at Walnut Capital, who have been very, very vocal supporters of Waymo. And Joanna Dovin, as a matter of fact, who's been a massive supporter of Waymo. There is no secret about Waymo. Oh, let me find the date when I posted all the pictures and video about Waymo. And Patrick, you shut them on the damn streets, man. This is not a friggin' surprise.
Yeah, no. They've been testing them here for years, plural.
Come on, man.
We saw fewer of them the last couple of years.
They were invented here.
But they're back. The next version, the next edition is here.
Oh. So now they decide, and by the way, they have no authority on Waymo. Oh, let's create another regulatory board. That's what we should do. Waymo.
So what they want, I guess they want the ability to restrict them in places?
They should. They should ban Waymo. Oh, ICE in Waymo. ICE agents should not be allowed to ride in Waymo. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. I find their lack of effectiveness and efficiency to be confounding and disheartening. And I find their inability to move the ball in any direction to be disheartening at best. I will open the phone lines and you tell me one significant thing that Pittsburgh City Council has done in the last 5 years that made your life better. The clock is ticking. 866-391-1020. I ask you, and there are thousands of people listening, to tell me one significant thing Pittsburgh City Council has done to make your life better. 866-391-1020. I bet you can't name the city council members, all of them. I can't. I don't know who the hell they are. A couple of them. Eight, six, six, 391-1020. Name one significant thing that Pittsburgh City Council has done to make your life better. So to Patrick's point, Waymo was invented here. Then it was a co-opt to other cities. And quite frankly, they have an insane success in California where it's running full bore. They brought them back here 2 months ago. And quite frankly, they parked them in the parking lots at the Walnut Capitol. And then they got authority to test them with drivers. Now, they don't touch the wheel. Patrick, the one you saw, guy sits there in case something happens, but he's really not messing with anything.
Correct.
And they're not taking passengers yet. But they've been out on the roads here for a couple of months. My man Ralph, who's a true insider, they have done absolutely nothing. Nothing. Ron?
Yes, sir.
Let me know, brother.
What have they done?
To make your life better.
You're right.
Make your life
better. Absolutely nothing.
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 Diddly squat.
Nothing.
Jack blank.
You damn right.
Damn right. Damn right, I'm damn right. Hell yeah, he's right. Name, I love people like, I love my man Ron. Name one thing. Name them. Name the Pittsburgh City Council members, huh? I love Anthony Coghill. Teresa's gone, so I loved her. She's gone. She was honest, hardworking, gave a damn. Name them. Come on. Huh? Strasburg, you just heard her whining. Name them. Name one thing they've done. I'm open, man. One, that has helped make your life better. That has improved the schools. That has improved health care. Oh, they raised our taxes. Is that a... Oh, that's not a good thing. Uh-huh. They all banned ICE, even though they don't have the authority to do so. They don't have that authority. What else did they not do? Now they want to jack with this insane opportunity with Waymo. Insane opportunity with Waymo. I'm trying to get in one of the cars so I can show you what it's like. Just to shoot live video with Patrick. We will let you know. Name one thing as they now try to overregulate what's already regulated by the state and the federal government, Waymo. It is. Name one thing they've done to make your life better. 866-391-1020. I will leave the phones open for that. Meantime, when we come back, I got to say a few things about a great man. A great, great man that we lost. Big time. I just got this notice along the lines of what we discussed earlier in the show regarding the Southside and the shootings. Wow, it's kind of crazy. This iconic joint where I've had a significant number of sandwiches. It's a fantastic place. Fatheads, they're out. Wow. That's a problem. That's a big deal. After 34 years, we've made the difficult decision to close the doors of Fatheads Saloon on Pittsburgh's South Side. Wow. Wow. That's crazy. They're done. They started in 1992. They're out. Wow. That is bad. And I'm asking these business owners down there why. The violence, they're saying the protests, the arrests, the shootings, final nail in the coffin, most popular restaurant destination on the South Side. I would argue that. You used to have to wait in line. It's been a while, but they have a great rep for great food. They make their own beer. Their beer's kind of taken off. Man, that's a big deal. So Fatheads is closing down. You know, at some point, someone's going to have to acknowledge this disaster. We played, and I posted videos, more than 500,000 people have watched them and kind of expressed the same sentiment that something needs to happen. Make Carson Street great again. Chupka has made these hats. He's taking grief for it. Why? I don't know. Because he cares. What I find fascinating is Rich Chupka has a business there, so his whole livelihood is there. And he has been the most outspoken critic of the violence down there because he wants it to stop. And Lynn, who we had on this morning, she's lived her whole life and her whole existence is the South Side. And she can't believe what's happened to the South Side. And someone has to stand up and say, this sucks. Rather than we see these grimy, ribbon-cutting news conferences where they open these little restaurants and everybody proclaims the South Side is back. It's not true. It's just, I really like Corey's work ethic. I love his attitude. I love his go-get-em mentality. However, someone needs to man up and understand that the problem on the South Side is at night where everybody's scared to death to go down there because of the shootings that happen almost every weekend. And so what happens is that carries over into, I won't go there at all. As she said this morning, you could roll a bowling ball down Carson Street at noon and not hit anybody. It's just the way it is. It's awful. So just announced, Fatheads is closing on the South Side. Big. That's big. That's a right after the draft, is that what it's saying? That's a big deal. They'll be packed for the draft, but for them to pack it in, that's bad. That's a bad sign. That was the hottest spot there for years.
Final day, April 26th.
Oh, wow.
According to their Facebook post.
And when they opened, you couldn't get in there because the great sandwiches,
yep,
honestly.
Fantastic.
Before we go today, and we're going to elaborate on this as the week progresses and do more on Friday, a great, great man died, Gary Bowser Sr. I don't know. I met him all. From the time we met, and his wife, Barbara, and Gary Jr., and Kurt, it's just a hell of a family, man. But the thing about Gary Sr., he took a business that he bought, a small car dealer, and turned it into an empire of nearly 500 employees. And they're wonderful people. And he's a magnificent man. And he died over the weekend. Gary Bowser Sr. got it. Humble, kind, generous, caring, considerate to a fault. Man, if he saw you, he loved you, man. He loved my wife. His wife, so wonderful. God bless you, Barbara. And Gary Jr., I spoke to him a couple nights ago after this happened. He said, Marty, I sat beside my father at the business for 30 years. His father's house is within 50 yards of his house. He said, my father was my neighbor, my closest friend, my advisor, my soul, and I'm crushed. And so are we, Gary. We loved Gary Bowser Sr. Larry, very, very close to that family. They're wonderful, wonderful people, and he will be dearly missed. Gary Bowser Sr., a hell of a man.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.